Rodgers in the shotgun, starts to his left. Here we go. Third down, goal to go. Richard Rodgers moves in tight to the line. Long count, snap to Rodgers. Looking, waiting, steps up, scrambles to his right, throws late.
Yes.
Touchdown, Jeff Janis! A bullet feed to Janis in the end zone, and the Packers have the lead. They beat Justin Bethel. 8-yard touchdown pass.
It's pretty exciting, Wayne. Finally, the getting Jeff Janis in the football field had some pretty positive results, didn't it?
Well, I guess it did, huh? I mean, you know, they were down to, well, with the Cobb injury, I mean, they had to get Janis and Abradaris on the field. And you look at the last couple of minutes of that ball game, and you look at what Aaron Rodgers was working with. Patrick Peterson had taken James Jones totally out of the game. No catches on just two targets. And so you had a relatively inexperienced Jeff Janis, Jared Abradaris, and I thought both young players stepped up and really played well.
So Packers fans, and in now zooming out, Wayne, an entire season would go, well, what took so long? We were screaming for these guys earlier in the year. Was it just out of necessity that they finally made the field?
Yeah, I think it was a necessity. I mean, there's no question that these guys had an opportunity in practice. And let's be honest, the coaches see a lot more of these guys than we do. And if these guys are better than what they were putting out there on the field, they would do that. They'd put them out on the field. So the coaches aren't in the business of playing their favorites. They're in business of playing players that'll help them win. And, you know, that's the key here. I think over the course of the season, maybe Janis and Jared, maybe they weren't as well prepared to take their spot on the field as the other guys who were playing ahead of them. But, boy, when it came down to crunch time in that playoff game, I thought those two young men were outstanding, and that bodes well certainly for the future.
Hey, you know, maybe some guys are better game players than they are practice players. You know, get them on the field during game time, and they react and play differently maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the case with a lot of players, and maybe Janis is one of those guys. But, you know, the one thing, understand this about Jeff. He is a kind of a raw route runner, as the scouts would say. And, you know, the route he can run, all right, downfield, just blow by somebody, Jeff, and I'll put the ball on the money and go. That's what he was doing at the end of the ball, especially on, you know, is everybody's focused on the Hail Mary pass. I thought the play, the 60-yard play from the back of the end zone that Aaron made on 4th and 20, that was an incredible play that he and Janis hooked up on, and they have no chance at Hail Mary if that play doesn't come off. So that's the thing Janis can do. He's not going to be your crisp route runner, but he can get by people on that fly route, and that's what they needed in that situation. So that's why he had such a big game.
How about that pass interference call that did not get called on Janis just before that? How do you not make that call as a referee?
Well, you know, they swallow their whistle late in games, in playoff games, Murph. You can't rely on the officials for anything in those circumstances.
Looking at the coaches, Wayne, and the coaching in general, you know, everybody nitpicks at this point, and the stat came out that 7 playoff losses, Coach McCarthy has lost on the last play 5 of those 7 times. And looking at yesterday's game, I feel like, again, and I always feel like an apologist, but I feel like Coach Mike McCarthy is one of the best single game planners that exists in football, that he has his team for these games prepared and ready and able to make adjustments in the moment like they had to, with personnel groupings and everything, as well as anybody I've ever seen.
I can't agree with you more, and I mean that sincerely. And when you talk about going to the playoffs 7 straight years, I mean, that's not just a head coach, that's a coaching staff, that's an organizational accomplishment, okay? But, you know, I've seen so many times in football, Nick, the people, you know, who are successful, they're getting to the playoffs, they're not quite getting to the promised land maybe, and they decide, okay, well, we're going to blow this thing up because we're not quite getting to that next step. Well, they take 4 steps back and never get to the playoffs again. So, you know, that's the thing you got to be careful of here. I think this staff, and I'm going back last year, the Seattle game, that team was prepared impeccably and ready to win that football game. That wasn't coaching that lost that game, in my opinion. And the same thing in the desert. How do you wipe out? And I was wondering all week last week, and maybe you guys heard it in my voice when we talked last Monday. I didn't know how they were going to wipe out a 30-point deficit in just 3 weeks like that.
Yeah.
Against a very good Arizona team. And yet they went down there. They were just outstanding well prepared and certainly in that ball game all the way.
Well, what a difference a somewhat healthy offensive line makes too. You got all the guys were back, and it made a big difference as far as Aaron's protection.
It certainly did. I think there was just one sack, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe four quarterback hits. Now, you talk about 3 weeks ago, what was it, nine sacks and, yeah, like, I don't know, 13 or 14 quarterback hits. It was amazing, the turnaround there. I just thought they went in there and did a hell of a coaching job. And not just – and, again, we laymen focus on game day, but the coaching job happens during the week. That's when it really happens, when you put your players in a position to win, when you prepare them to be in a position to win. And that's all you can ask of a coaching staff. And I think this staff, offense and defense, does a tremendous job of that. And I thought Ryan Zook did a great job on special teams.
You know, I don't think people really realized it until he came back, but how much the defense was missing Sam Shields. It was a completely different defense, and they've been playing well for several weeks now, but when he came back, it allowed him to do a bunch of other things, didn't it?
It certainly did, and it added depth. You know, the one thing that was missing was a number of people who could run with these receivers from Arizona. Well, you put Sam Shields in there, you got Demaryius Randall in there, Rollins played, you've got, of course, Casey Hayward. You've got enough guys now to cover their options, and I thought it made it tough on Carson Palmer and his receivers. They weren't getting the kind of separation they were 3 weeks ago. So, you know, again, health is a big thing. Health on that offensive line, health in the secondary. And I thought the Packers rallied to that aspect of the game very well.
Although I think his health affected him, because being off as long as he was seemed to maybe affect him a little bit, because he had several interceptions that were pretty gravy interceptions that he dropped. And I think that had something to do with being off for so long, probably, right?
Maybe, but then again, don't remember this. Cornerbacks are cornerbacks because they weren't catching the ball well enough as wide receivers.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
No doubt.
723 WIXX. We're talking football with Wayne Larrabee. Quick timeout. More Wayne coming up.
Now back to Murphy, Nick, and Katie. It's Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee on 101 WIXX.
Here we go. Just like the Motown miracle, the Packers hoping for another. This one in the desert. Rodgers in the shotgun, three receivers right, one to the left. Rodgers looks it over, Starks to his left. Now he moves Starks to the right side. Snap to A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown.
Yes!
A miracle,
yes!
Catch.
Jeff Janis
caught
it
in the end zone.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
Believe it.
Jeff Janis, high point of the football in the middle of the end zone. And the Packers are an extra point away from getting this thing tied.
Hey, Wayne, was Larry okay after that?
I was going to call Dr. John Gray because I didn't know if Larry's going to make it through that moment, but I was glad he did.
You know what was great, Wayne, is it, and you hear it really on your radio call, it did not come through the television as well. The stadium went silent, everybody. Boy, the stadium went silent. It didn't. Packers fans went berserk. There were a lot of Packers fans there.
Yeah, there were, you know, not as many as we saw 3 weeks ago. Because, you know, I don't know if you guys are aware, but Arizona, the Cardinals, when they sold tickets for that playoff game, you had to have an Arizona zip code,
yeah,
in order to buy a ticket. But yeah, anyway, a lot of Packers fans nonetheless have relocated there, and they got into the ball game. And yeah, they made a difference. Even when John Kuhn carried the ball, you could hear the Kuhn chants in the background. So, yeah, that was interesting.
Boy, you know, it's few and far between you even see a Hail Mary, but the odds of seeing it within weeks of each other is incredible, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, that they met off. It's not the same two guys. It's the same quarterback, but they're two different receivers that did that. And I've never seen anything like that. 38 years in the NFL. I don't know if I've seen a Hail Mary described to completion,
yep,
like that, much less two in one season.
Any temptation to go for two at that point?
I got to tell you, Murph, back in my mind, I said, of course you're going to tie the game. But, you know, part of me was saying, gosh, it'd be great to get the two-point conversion and just walk out of here. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
yep.
What if you don't get it? Oh, right. My goodness.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so frustrating, the NFL, you know, you've got a break and you have your breaks in action. It would have been so nice if the setup after a touchdown is the same as any play on the 38-yard line where you could just run up to the line. Like, all right, here we go. Because at that point, Arizona's stunned. The stadium is stunned. Yeah. If you could have gotten to the line and just gone, here we go. It's the play. It's two. I think you win that football game. But there's so many built-in commercial breaks and every other break in action that allowed everybody to regroup.
Well, and you know, and of course, they review every touchdown automatically, and that takes a few seconds, as you know. A lot of times we're just standing there waiting for the point after, and they're actually reviewing the play and telling the referee, oh, it's okay, we don't have to look at this, we're good. It was an incredible season in a lot of ways, and I know fans are frustrated with some of it, but, you know, I saw a team that really, you know, in the end, achieved and overachieved in some cases. You know, it's just unfortunate that overtime went the way it did because that team played well enough and hard enough and deserved to win.
So offseason is here. Going to be obviously there's always a turnover in personnel, Wayne, and we've got quite a few restricted free agents. What do you think? What type of changes are we going to see?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, going into this season, following the Seattle game, you know, there were changes, and there are changes, as you mentioned, every year. That's the nature of the business. It's free agency. It's everything else. But for the most part, they brought back the same team that made it all the way to the overtime in Seattle and with win a minute or two of getting to the Super Bowl. They brought that team back, and then Jordy Nelson went down, and things started happening from there. That won't quite be the case this year. There are 12, I count 12 significant unrestricted free agents. You know, Mason Crosby, B.J. Raji, Casey Hayward, James Jones, John Kuhn, Nick Perry, Mike Neal, Andrew Corliss, James Starks, just to name some of them. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of significant players on this team. You can't keep everybody. And you know what? I think change is the only constant in the league, and I'm not saying change is a bad thing. I think that's the thing you've got to do. You can't bring back the same team year after year. You have to get better. If you're not getting better, if you're just as good as you were last year, then you have regressed in this league, and we've seen that.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be it'll be interesting as we go through the offseason, get ready for another season of the fall. Wayne, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. Another great year. We thank you for joining us every Monday here on IXX. So.
Hey, guys, this is one of the high points of my week, getting a chance to talk football with you guys. I really mean that. And all the best in the offseason to you and your audience. And we thank everybody for listening. But most of all, I really enjoy visiting with you folks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon, bud. Thank you.